Hello and welcome to the DD&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons and Dragons. My co-host is not here right now, so I will go ahead and play you our disclaimer.
Demented Dungeons and Dragons disclaimer. Asterisk legal notice asterisk. This podcast is for educational and / or entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of this is all hearsay evidence and is not admissible in court. Our first-hand knowledge is your hearsay evidence and you should always go and do your own homework. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any terroristic tyrannical de facto governments, medical establishments, fast food franchises, any religious or non-religious 501c3s or anything of that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to do what is right, when it is right, because it is right. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty, your freedoms, and your liberty, and those same freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, your people, and your homeland. The Lord gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would like them to pray for you. Love others as you would want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicines. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and / or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is a result of a nutritional deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Man and / or other animals, we are not man animals. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast isn't necessarily for you. Please tell your human about us.
Yeah, please go tell your human about us. Podcast tonight. I'm tired. I didn't have a subject ready. Yeah. what to talk about. If we had somebody call in, then we could talk about whatever they want to talk about. Oh, goodness. So, yeah. DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. The phone number is 563-999-2010. Once again, that's 563-999-2010. The access code is 256012. Once again, that's 256012. And you can catch us there every Saturday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time or 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time. So basically in the summer, 8 o'clock. In the winter, 7 o'clock. And you can find any other details. And or if we change the times, which we started out at this time, but then David Irish, the third D in DD&D, just wanted us to move it to Sunday evening. So we did. He called in about three times. And that was about it. So we moved it back to Saturday. So here we are. Saturday. This is going to be a sleepy podcast. Let's see if I can find something to talk about. I do need to put together a sponsor recording. I don't really have any sponsors for the podcast. But I do have three sponsors from my website, truckerdate.com. And so, you know, I would advertise for them. But, yeah, I have three main date lines. I have, well, four if you count my poly site. But it's not really a date line, although it can be. It is, sort of. You can check out thepolycommunity.com at thepolycommunity.com. You can also check out truckerdate.com. And then I also have offgriddating.com, which will soon be renamed to offgridsingles.com for off-gridders. There used to be a prepper dating and a survivalist singles, and I was advertising for them because survivalists and preppers are a little different than off-gridders. They're all three pretty much similar, but not the same. So I thought, well, you know, I'll advertise for the other two. Maybe in the future they'll advertise for me, and we'll all hit all three niches or markets. But the other two disappeared. They went away. Not sure exactly why. Prepper Dating ended up getting infected with the malware, and their site got shut down. I think it was probably the government. Who knows? Survivalist Singles, I don't know. I don't know what happened to them. They're gone. Just poof, gone. Offline they went. So everybody comes to me now. Offgridsingles.com. And then I have my astrology site. It's not really a date line, but it's called Dating by the Signs. It's a social network. You can meet and mingle there. But I wanted to build a date line, an astrological date line, but I didn't realize how complicated it is. I'm not sure that you can actually put together an astrological dateline where it would automatically match you up with other members. It's possible. If I get the right programmers together and have enough money, which I don't have, either one really, then, I could probably put it together. I know what to do and kind of how to do it. I got some skills and expertise. I've been doing some homework on how to put it together. I just don't have the ability to do it all myself. I'm not smart enough. I'm smart, but not smart enough. Anyways, so, it's a social network right now. I thought about converting it to like a Facebook-style social network because if I got my homework right, that's the best platform that I need in order to use this other database as an add-on or a plug-in to match people up. But, again, I don't have the money or the time or the expertise, so that's on the back burner. Right now I have it at a simple social network where you can just go in and kind of check it out, mingle, explore, talk, and you can actually sell items there. So if you have any astrological stuff you want to sell, hey, go to datingbythesigns.net. Datingbythesigns.com is my directory. I have .net and .info. .info is my astrology site where I educate people pretty much for free. But if you want to buy a reading or a composite reading for a couple composite reading or star match reading for couples, I can do that. And I'm cheaper than most people. I don't like to undercut the market, but I'm a noob still. I've only been doing this for about 5 years, technically. 7 years overall, but I didn't really start learning real astrology until like 2012. So I'm only 5 years old. But, as I get more experience and more knowledge and be able to get better readings and stuff like that, and more accurate interpretations, I'll up my price. And then, of course, I do astrological counseling as well. I'm pretty accurate, pretty on point. So is my readings, as far as the computer readings and in my own readings as well. This girl I'm talking to now, she didn't really believe astrology all that much. It was more like a game. But after I got to email her that again. But after I gave her a reading, she was amazed at how accurate it was. She was just like astonished. Especially, I don't know if it was our star match, and it wasn't our star match reading. I think it was our couple's composite reading. It was just like, whoa, right out the gate. It was just like, bam, in your face. Hit us right, nail in the head, bam, right between the eyes. And, this shit's not fake. I mean, it's real. There's something about it. I don't know what it is. I ain't quite put my finger on it. But astrology is something to be taken serious. It's not poppycock. It's not hogwash. But at the same time, you don't want to do, just your basic daily astrology that you find in your newspaper. It's inconclusive. It's incomplete. And that's why a lot of people don't really believe in astrology because they're only reading part of it. They get 1/100th of the puzzle and they wonder why it's not accurate. Well, because you don't have the whole book. You got one page. And you got to read the whole book. You got to learn the whole book. Got to get all the pieces of the puzzle together. And then it starts to make sense. But if you just got one piece, it'll tell you nothing. So, yeah, it's crazy. And it's complicated. And Chinese astrology is the same way. You know, everybody's doing, you know, just their year signs. Like, I'm the year of the tiger, and she's the year of the rooster. Well, the tiger and the rooster don't necessarily get along, but if you look at all the other stuff, and Chinese astrology is no different than regular astrology. They just reworded it, and they use Jupiter as their main planet, where the regular astrology uses the sun. Yeah, the sun sign is their regular planet. So, you know, people know what their sun signs are, and they know what their Chinese astrology is, which is Jupiter. But they don't know the rest of their planets. And they don't know their ascendant. And they don't really put a lot of stock in all that stuff, because if you just go on your sun and Jupiter, you don't really have a whole lot to go on. And that's where I started out when I started doing astrology. I started out with you know, I didn't even know Chinese astrology was using Jupiter. I just was like using the two of them together, the regular sun signs, because that's all I knew at the time, and the Chinese astrology, and putting the two of those together. And I was doing halfway decent. I was doing pretty good. But I didn't even know I was a Leo Virgo cusp. I just identified as a Leo and a tiger. But I didn't know I was I don't even know what kind of tiger I am. I'm like a wood tiger, maybe? 1974, whatever that is. So, Tiger Woods. Just kidding. That's funny, though. Okay, hang on. I'm going to look it up. Wood tiger. Night. 1974 wood tiger. I think that's not a wood tiger. I think it's a fire tiger. Wood tiger. Nope. I was right. I'm a wood tiger. Fire tiger. Anyways, yeah. So I am a wood tiger. Tiger wood. Tiger wood. I wonder if Tiger Woods is a wood tiger. That'd be funny. Anyways. So, the wood means something else also. and I'm not sure what. But yeah, you have to do some homework on that. If you look up each different aspect, if you look at detailed Chinese astrology and look at each of the aspects and compare them to Eastern astrology, you'll see that there's a lot of similarities. And once you've been looking at it long enough, you'll see how they just change the names of things to... It's kind of like the pharmaceutical industry. They can't patent an herb necessarily. So they change the chemical makeup of this herb. You know, they break down the DNA of the herb and they change its DNA. Once they change its DNA, then they can patent it and call it a drug. It's basically the same thing that the Chinese did with astrology. They changed the names of all the planets. For example, the tiger is Aquarius. So, Jupiter, they're not even calling it Jupiter. They're calling it your year sign. Well, Jupiter changes once a year. Now, if you looked at Eastern astrology versus, and it's not even Eastern astrology. I used to call it Eastern astrology and Western astrology, and that's not even accurate anymore. You know, and I forgot the terminology now. La la la. I got my program here. Okay, the tropical zodiac is what people call the Western zodiac. Let's see here, options. Zodiacs. Okay, you have the tropical zodiac, which is Western astrology, Western zodiac. Then you have you can either call it sidereal zodiac, but it's actually called something else, sidereal or something like that zodiac, and that's the Eastern zodiac, the one that they call Eastern astrology. And then you have the Draconian zodiac, which I have no clue what that is. I started doing some homework on it, but I didn't get very far. I didn't get very deep. I got sidetracked and went off into another field of research. But on the tropical zodiac, I am a Leo, Virgo cusp. On the sidereal zodiac, Eastern astrology, I am a Cancer Leo cusp. I'm a Leo Cancer cusp. It's about 21 days off. And then on the draconic zodiac, I'm a Sagittarius. That's way off. I don't even know where they come up with that. So maybe they're using a different planet as the home planet. Maybe they're using Earth or some other planet as their home planet. Where Eastern and Western uses the sun. So Draconian, I don't even know what, I got to do my homework on it. So look up Draconic Zodiac, do some homework on that, and then call in and let's have a discussion about it, because I may or may not get to it, and I'd like to find out what you have to say on it, find out what your research is, and we can have a discussion about it. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah, there's all kinds of astrology out there, and I started out wanting to create a dateline, and it's so complicated, I realized. I'm not OCD enough. I'm not patient enough. And so I decided I'm not going to do it. I'll leave it up to somebody else, or I'll wait till I got the money to pay somebody to assist me in putting it together, because I just don't got the time and money or the patience to figure it out. So there you go. Those are the different zodiacs. I use the tropical zodiac because that seems to be the most accurate. The sidereal or Eastern zodiac used to be more accurate. And if you want to compare it to the Chinese astrology, those two coincide with each other almost perfectly. But as time passes, we have to adjust our zodiacs. And because kind of like there's not 365 days in a year, there's 365 and a quarter days in a year. So every year, if we don't adjust and have a leap year, we lose a day every 4 years. Well, astrology is the same way, but it's all, you know, they've got it all figured out in these different mathematical configurations, and I don't know how it all works on a more detailed level, because that's where the programmers come in who actually put together the astrology programs. Those guys are like the brains of the operation. Those guys, yeah, good luck talking to them. They don't speak English. It's kind of like my, I got two business partners for my IT business. And one of them is a genius, but he doesn't speak human. You know? It's like, dude, speak English. Yeah. So that's why you need somebody like me who can interpret all that stuff to you. You got them who do the interpretations for us, and then we interpret it for, you know, the guy who doesn't understand even what we can understand. Hang on, David's calling me. Hello, and welcome to the DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com. Well, just go ahead and call into the podcast, because I'm already 26 minutes in.
Yeah, all right. I'll call in, but I'm just telling you, I'm going to be around.
Whatever.
See you in a bit.
Tardy.
See you in a bit.
I'm going to start calling you Tardy.
Tardy, that
works. Really Tardy.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. So we are the interpreters for the interpreters, and so on and so forth. And actually, I probably need an interpreter because sometimes I talk over people's head, but I do pretty good translating it in English for a lot of people. David Ray wants me to learn how to interpret it in a language to where it doesn't even sound like astrology. For those who think it's devil worship and all that other weird stuff. People that want to burn me at the stake because they think I'm a heathen because I interpret stars. And the Bible does not say that we're not allowed to interpret the stars. It says where we should not worship the stars. And I don't do that. I don't worship the stars. So, anyways, tropical zodiac. I've done a lot of homework. That's probably the best one. There's another one that's halfway decent. Oh, no, that's house systems. House systems. I use topocentric house system. And from my research, the topocentric house system is the best. Oh, crap. My necklace just broke. Dang it. I gotta dig out another one. That's my aromatherapy necklace, which, by the way, I do aromatherapy. And if you want to check out my aromatherapy, go to oilsoftheearth.com. I will be relaunching my Zen cart soon, because my new girlfriend, well, she's not exactly my girlfriend yet, but yeah, she, if things keep going the way they're going, she will be. So anyways, she is going to be helping me with my aromatherapy. She loves the essential oils as much as I do. She, well, maybe not as much, but pretty dang close. I'm not sure. Maybe she likes them even more than I do. She's, like, really into it. Well, okay. She's not as hardcore as I am because I'm, like, very strict on essential oils. She's not. She's into the oils, but she's not a heathen either, but she grew up pagan, so she has a different background, a different influence when it comes to the oils. She's now Christian, but she has a little bit different background. And actually, the funny thing is she grew up pagan. Now she's going more direction of the Christian. I grew up Christian, and I'm actually probably going the other direction the way she's coming from. So it's like we're kind of meeting in the middle. It's kind of weird and kind of cool at the same time. Because it's like a lot of Christians, oh, this is blasphemy, okay. A lot of Christians have a lot of pagan rituals that they practice, like Christmas. And, oh, how dare you say that Jesus' birthday is a pagan holiday. But if you do your homework, Jesus was actually born around September. So, all and yeah, I don't know. It's a bunch of crap. So, do your homework. Jesus was not born in December. If you celebrate Christmas, you're celebrating a pagan holiday. I don't celebrate Christmas. I might celebrate a pagan holiday. Maybe. But I wouldn't celebrate Christmas as a pretend whatever, pretending to be Christian, or not really. I don't know, whatever. What the hell? It's all stupid crap. So, a lot of people just think they're celebrating Jesus' birthday when they're not because they're brainwashed and they didn't do their own homework. Do your own homework. But, yeah. So she grew up pagan. I grew up Christian. She's now more Christian, and I'm more, I don't know, I call myself an othertarian. If you go to other, if you go to othertarian.com, you'll see what I'm talking about. But anyways, so we're kind of actually about the same in the way we believe, our philosophies, the whole nine yards. We both studied Buddhism. I'm not sure about her, but I studied Catholicism. I also studied Islam and Judaism, and I've studied, what else did I study? I studied a lot of different religions, and we both studied the lost books of the Bible. She went a step further, and she started learning Hebrew, which I never even bothered doing that. But my friend David Ray, he's been learning Hebrew and Greek and doing his own learning and interpreting. And so I learned from him. But, you know, but, so she's really into the essential oils. She's really into the aromatherapy. So she's going to be helping me with that. And we're going to take it to the next level. I mean, I've been meaning on doing this for a long time anyways, since I started the DD&D Off-Grid Organic Farm and Retreat down in Stockton. I've been planning to move my Zen cart from my old Health and Hearth website that I had before my divorce to the farm website and basically sell the oils through the farm. And that's what I'm going to do. She's very much like us. She's very much into the off-gridding stuff. She's Native American, not 100%, but she's part Native. Of course, so am I. And that's another thing. We both kind of cling to our Native roots a lot. I'm studying to be a Native American medicine man, and I'm part of two Native American churches. So, yeah, we're just so much alike. It's crazy. But the weird part is we're not that astrologically compatible if you look at our astrology. I mean, she's a Leo. I'm a Leo Virgo cusp. Her ascendant is Virgo. My ascendant is Libra, which that both those could work. especially our ascendants. Our ascendants are right next door to each other. They're both mutable, passive, non-aggressive. Then our sun signs are more aggressive. Her sun sign is more aggressive than mine. And that, well, I don't know. I got to look at the house placements because I have my son in the 11th house, that gives me some aggression there. My astrology is more dominant than hers. She's more submissive than I am. That could be good or bad. I don't like a woman to be too dominant, but I like a woman who's aggressive, and she's aggressive enough, I think. Our moons are bad. That's the only part in our astrology that's really bad, is our moons. So I have to make sure I stay on top of, you know, making sure that our moons have good aspects to them, because that's where our challenge is going to be. The guy who wrote the astrology program that I use, he says, you don't have to be astrologically compatible. You just have to know astrology and understand astrology so that you can make up the differences that you're lacking in your astrology. So, example, our moons are off. So that's the area that we have our work cut out for us. Okay. A moon is your emotional and psychological needs. We seem to be really attentive and on point with each other's emotional and psychological needs, but we're still new. We're still new, and that could be a problem, and so that's something we have to pay attention to. But both of our moons are mutable, so they're non-aggressive, they're passive. Let me think where her moon is. Actually, her moon is not mutable. It's the one in between. You have, I forgot the name now, cardinal. It's a cardinal sign. So, okay, you have fixed signs, which are like dominant. They're more aggressive, more dominant. You have mutable signs, which are more submissive. And in BDSM terminology, okay, you have your DOMs, your fixed signs, you have your subs, your mutable signs, and then you have your switches. Those are the cardinal signs. Those are the ones, I think that's the right word. Those are the ones that are kind of in the middle. They can be dominant, they can be submissive, but they're not one or the other. They kind of go back and forth. They kind of walk that line. They're like a cusp, if you will. So she's got a more aggressive moon than I do, which might be good. I don't know. But they're square. And so that's, like I said, it's going to be a challenge. I think, according to the astrology that I know, our Venuses are next door to each other. Mine's more dominant than hers. Let's see, mine is in the house of Capricorn. I forgot what house hers is in. Let's go look. I should have these memorized already, but I don't. I'm slacking. I'm a slacker. But, you know, I've been mostly focusing on learning her and getting to know who she is outside of the astrology. But knowing the astrology, I already pretty much have a good idea who she is. It's like, it's funny because one time I was talking about her astrology and how she is, and she goes, I don't know if I like you knowing me so well. And I was like, what, you don't want me to know you? She goes, no, I feel naked. I said, well, learn my astrology and we can be naked together. She thought, oh my goodness, you're too much. But, you know, that's just it. You know, you want to become one with your partner and just have that amazing connection that nobody else has. Learn their astrology. Get to know them and who they are on a deeper level than they probably know themselves. And vice versa, for that matter. You know, get to know yourselves, get to know each other, and don't use astrology as a weapon. That's when astrology becomes evil. When you use it as a weapon against people, you know, just like a gun or a knife. Guns don't cause crime. Bad people cause crime. So astrology, in the wrong hands, is evil. It can be bad. Like my arch nemesis, my former astrologer, the guy who started teaching me real astrology in 2012, he uses astrology to use and manipulate people. That's bad. And yeah, you know, and he uses it as a weapon against people. And so you can't do that. You can't use someone's astrology as a weapon against them, especially if you want your relationship to be a healthy one. So learn your partner, learn their astrology, and try to complement that. Try to, you know, it's like if they're doing that annoying thing that you don't understand why they're doing it, you might want to check out their astrology and yours for that matter and see why that thing that they're doing is annoying you. I'm willing to bet it's in there. David Iris and Connie, they have two signs off in their astrology. Of course, this guy hooked, I don't think he hooked them up, but David Iris turned me on to this other astrologer in 2012, and he got with his wife, and he ran their astrology by this guy, and this guy said, oh, you guys have a great match, blah, 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 blah. They didn't have a great match. They had two signs that were really off, and communication was one of them. And after about 4 months of me studying the astrology, he said something to me about it, and so I gave him a quick glance reading and told him that communication and this other thing was off. Here's where their problems are going to be. He's like, how long have you been doing this? And I said, just 4 months. He goes, damn, you're good. He's like, you hit the nail right on the head. It's that simple. I've only been doing it 4 months, and I had it. I figured it out. I mean, I didn't figure out everything. But, you know, the basics. You got to have communication. I mean, you got to have certain planets. And if you don't, you got to know what they are and why they're not working so that you can figure out how to make them work. Because astrology is just our instincts, how we act and react when we're not consciously thinking about it. So because her moon and my moon are off, it's only going to be off when, you know, something is happening that we're not, you know, like when we're, it's more like when you're reacting, not so much acting, but when you're reacting. So if I do something that doesn't quite set well with her emotional and psychological needs or vice versa, and we react to that, that's going to be our moons in play or another thing in play. But if the right thing is in play, like communication, then we can work through it. But if the moon is doing most of the walking in this reaction, we're going to have a challenge. And so that's when you have to kick your brain in gear and say, okay, we have a challenge. We got a problem, and it's not getting resolved. It's got to be in our moons. And so I go to our moons and I say, look, all right, what do I got to do to get through to her moon or have her moon get through to my moon or whatever the case may be? Because it's not necessarily that I'm right, she's wrong, or she's right, I'm wrong. We're just, our moons aren't connecting. But we got good Mercuries, so we can connect on our Mercury level and work through it. And Mercury is communication. So you got to have communication. Make sure you get your Mercuries good. Anyways, and then our Mars is square too. Now, according to the astrology that I've been studying, you want your Mars trine or sextile, but trine's the best. And, but this lady at my psychic church that I go to, I call it psychic church, it's a spiritualist church. The astrology that she studied and she learned says you want Mars square. You want everything else trine, but you want Mars square. And so I was like, okay, I don't know that I believe that, but I'm taking it into consideration. Well, her and I have Mars square. And so far it's been good. Our energy seems to be pretty compatible. We haven't gone to the sexual level yet, and it's going to be probably a few more months before that happens. But Mars is your energy and sexual needs. And if Mars is supposed to be square, we're not going to have problems there. If it's not supposed to be square, well, we might have some problems there. So who knows? We'll see in a few months what happens. Well, actually, it probably won't be a few months. It'll probably be a few more months down the road before we actually start seeing issues, because everything's always wonderful in the beginning of a relationship. Tiptoeing through the tulips. That's a funny song. My boss is always singing a song. He hates the song, but he sings it every day almost. It's funny. He's like, isn't that such a horrible song? Like, why do you keep singing it every day if it's such a horrible song? So funny. So, yeah, astrology. It's very complicated, but, you know, like I said, it's pretty accurate. So, and like my, I don't really have an astrologer anymore, a mentor, if you will. I'm just learning on my own. I'm kind of looking for a business partner who's still learning and who wants to advance. And then, you know, we can kind of feed off of each other and advance together and then grow the astrology part of the business. But, yeah, I'm not taking on mentors anymore. I had two mentors, and they both sucked. So now I just go to the guy who writes my program, and I go. He's my go-to guy if I have any questions. But, of course, and then the Internet. There's a bunch of different astrologers that I'm following and learning from. And some of them are Eastern astrologers, some are Western astrologers, and some are Eastern astrologers using the they're using the Western Zodiac. Yeah, the tropical Zodiac. They're using the Western Zodiac, either that or they're using the topocentric Zodiac, anyways, or house system. They're using the Western style zodiac or house system. They're using those charts, but they're applying their Eastern astrology knowledge to those charts. So those are the type of people I'm following because they're using the charts that I'm using. And so I get the Eastern and the Western aspects onto the same chart that I'm basically using. And so that's how I learn. But lately I have gotten away from it. I haven't really been focusing a lot on astrology. I've been mostly focusing on my off-grid organic farm and retreat. And our DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons! But, and now I'm starting to get back into my aromatherapy. It's one of my passions. I'm kind of ACDC. I'm kind of ADD. I have a lot of passions, a lot of projects. And so really the best thing for me to do is collect business partners that I can trust to help me with those projects, people who have the passion like I do. And Elena, she has a lot of the same passions that I do.
Hello!
Hello, and welcome to the DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons Dragons.com!
Yes, and I think I'm Mr. Delinquent.
Yes, Delinquent. You are the Delinquent Dragon. I'm the Demented Dragon, and you're the Delinquent Dragon.
Yeah, well, You might be the deliriously the deliriously dissatisfied dragon here in a little bit if Well, let's put it this way. How many hours is he planning on working us on Tuesday and Wednesday?
They should be full days. I was not really happy about this last ordeal because we didn't get but 3 hours the second day.
Right. Yeah, well, he paid us for 3 hours, but 3.5, actually, I think he paid us for. I need maximum dollars because, you're going to be pissed.
What's wrong with my truck now?
Yeah, precisely. I need a new window for the shell.
The back? You backed into something.
No, I didn't back up into anything. I didn't even close it hard. But doesn't matter. It turned into a million pieces, and it is no longer there. So I need to replace it.
Yeah, it's about $100.
Okay, that's good. For that,
I don't remember.
I don't have much in the way. Dang it.
Yeah, I think it's a little more because it was tinted. I had to replace it once because I backed into a tree.
Yeah, Well, I didn't back into anything.
Whatever.
I closed it.
Maybe you just need to buy the pickup truck.
I closed it relatively gently, but there was a tool poking out, and it just kind of fell in. And it was like, I'm in shock. And then I saw what was poking. It was like, crap. And even John heard me yell and scream. So I'll have to ask him later if there was any choice worse than my yelling and screaming. I hope the answer's no, but...
No, I'm sure there was.
Well, I'm hoping there wasn't because there's a bunch of little boys and girls over at his house.
You're in trouble now.
Apparently in earshot.
You bad boy.
Yeah. Well,
bad llama.
At least half the guppies survived the trip.
Half?
It's a little hard to count a half a dozen guppies in murky, dark water. So,
okay.
I'm kind of curious how long, though, before we'll know whether they're eating mosquitoes or not and leaving the tadpoles alone. Go ahead.
We are going to set up a fish tank here to breed the fish so that you can take them down there we can take them down there every time we make a trip.
Well, and they're cheap. And they're always available. The ones we wanted, the mosquito fish.
Oh, okay.
Right? Now,
so we may not need to breed them, but we can have them as a holding tank.
It would be nice to have them over winter, but this is the time of year we need them, and they're available.
Right.
There's somebody who intelligently knows that there's a market for them, whereas down in Springfield, they're closest and they want $2 per guppy.
Heck with that.
We can get them a dozen for $2. is what? 16 cents a piece, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know.
16 and a half, 16 and a, third, two thirds, something like that. Woo-wee! I'm gonna go with that meal. Question: do they make solar bubblers?
No.
Well, there you go. We hook up a solar bubbler. And
I mean, I'm sure they do, but
well, we'll make one. So, hey, just a warning. If I run out of gas, I've got a tank of premium gas in the back of the pickup. I will be leaving the podcast long enough before that ends. So, I've got work tomorrow, so hopefully I'll earn some gas money, but I'm thinking I'm going to have to pour the tank in before I get to go to work. So, I don't know. I'll probably be just earning money to replace what I poured into the tank. And then Monday I've got some other work, but I'm not sure whether it's fencing or looking at a chicken coop. It'll be one or the other. Anyway. I just finished hanging Bill's fence. I put his fence pounder in the back of the pickup.
Okay.
It was resting on the lip of the, I don't know what you call it, tailgate? And so I took out the plastic plate, put it in the back, and set the door down. And I'm not kidding, I just set it down. And it goes, ding! And all these pieces fall into the back of the pickup.
Good job.
So I'm going to pull one of the tarps over the back of the pickup tonight because I got stuff in the back that I don't really want to deal with. It's already a little wet. My clothes for next week, I got to sort through and get all the glass out of. Oh, great. Okay, I'm glad I'm going back to Bill's tomorrow. I left that pump part at Bill's. That's all right. Well, we're supposed to get a lot of rain tomorrow, so goats probably aren't going to want out. I turned the goats loose yesterday, and you know they didn't go more than 50 feet from the pen. You know where we turn around just before the pen? Just before their yard? They didn't go past that. They wanted out, but that's all the further they went.
So they found exactly what they were looking for there.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then they went back in around 6 o'clock. Sun was still high in the sky. I said, well, okay. So I closed the gate and, you know, that was that. So, I don't know. They might be all right if I just leave them in there. The only thing is we need to make a new pen so that they, parasite. So we can alter, you know, move them from yard to yard every 21 days. So.
Right. Right.
So. Oh, man. So what do I go to get that replaced?
Do what?
Is there a place in Kansas City that will fix it in a day?
There is a place in Kansas City you can do it. I can show you, I could take you to the place that did it the last time, and it's over by Gary's.
Okay. So, we might be at Gary's at 6 a.m. and knock on the door and say, Gary, I need 12 hours of work today and tomorrow. 12.
Yeah.
24 total. Boom, 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 boom. Open up. Come on. Get to work. Get to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll go over real good. I'm gonna cry. All right.
Yeah, me too.
I've got everything I got need to make the pump work. So. Actually, I got everything I need now. I don't even have to drill. I can just take the cap off the end of that pipe, wrap some hardwire cloth around it, and zip tie it in place. I got a mouse in my camper. And a bunch of cats that aren't catching any mice. They got a snake, though. But snakes eat mice.
Right.
So they kind of been, They did the opposite of catching mice.
Right.
They did
a damn cats.
I think I saw some tomato seedlings. It's hard to tell at the early stage.
Okay.
The quinoa sprouted. Haven't seen any leaves yet, but they put out like a million threads of roots and then possibly molded right after. But I'm watching them. The chia looks like it might be sprouting. But I've only seen a couple of little plants in that area where we scattered it. But we don't have to worry about them flowing downstream because they glued themselves in place. They're not going anywhere. Because they form that gelatin around the seed. All right, so they're there. They're going nowhere. So we're, in that respect, we're good. So. Yep, there's a stupid cat running in the tall grass that I can't mow because there's rocks in the driveway. Come on, kitty cat. Don't step in front of me. I don't want to hear a pop.
Pop goes the kitty.
God. You're evil.
I don't even know how the song goes. There you go, you got it. Pop goes the kitty.
Yeah, I forgot the words though. But it's Pop Goes the Weasel, but yeah. It's the Jack in the Box song.
Jack in the Crack song?
No, that's another song. That's
we'll have to do a Cat in the Box song. And have a cat pop out instead of a weasel.
Well, you know what? When they put that tune on a Jack in the Box, it's always a jack, you know, like from the card set, popping out of the box, even though it's, you know, the weasel popping, you know. Oh, pops the weasel, you know. But it's...
No.
Yeah.
No.
Or out pops the weasel, I forget exactly. That's just steal the tarp from the lawnmower, which would be the easiest one for me to get. Or should I fish this one out? Or should I go way up to the front of the field and go get that one?
Do the hardest one.
That's, you know, the one that's over... The hardest one is over here next to my camper. The one that blew off is supposed to be protecting me from weather. That's probably the hardest one, but it's also the closest.
Because
it is... God. It's a horrific mess. Which is all the more
horrific.
Reason to deal with it. Yeah. Watch me drop my phone. If I do, it'll be right into this water right here.
Good job.
Yeah, it's like the universe is saying, David Ray, it's time to shit on you.
Poo-poo on you, poo-poo on you.
The world is shitting on you. You... are an evil and vile thing, and the universe knows it. And that's... You're in for some deep shit. And so, I woke up 2 days ago with a mouse in my camper.
Yay!
and have not been able to locate it and don't have any place to move all the boxes.
Well, next weekend I'll bring down some pallets and we can start building pallet barns and buildings.
Yes, and your mom was talking about sending shipping containers down here.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, Lori is going to donate to the people around redundant books because she's basically buying everything that Ray Hall left behind, including his library. So, talking which I haven't heard from Ray Hall in a while. I need to find out how he's doing. So we're going to need some place to set up a real library. Not to mention the millions of books I've got in my container.
Right.
That aren't doing anybody any good. Barry. What kind of rope is this? Is this the one that I just made? I think it is. I'm going to cut it, and I'm going to hate myself for cutting it, but here it goes. And here we go. Whoa! Okay, you've got Oceans of Fun in Kansas City?
Yeah.
I got Oceans of Fun flowing at me right now because that tarp was covered with water. Okie dokie. Mouse, I hope you jump out of the camper, land in the water, and drown. Okay, that's not good. Apparently I did not hook up my lights properly. Crap. Okay. Do this again. Yes, red's on red, black's on black. Prop this up. Back and forth. Now I hear sprinkles coming down on my head. Great. Just as a good thing I didn't go to the front of the field to go get that tarp. That would probably be the easiest tarp, even though it's the furthest to drag. Okay. Oh, great. I forgot to close this window, and it rained today. Okay. There, it's mostly closed. Now, after I finished under the tree, this was going to be my next project anyway. Because there's poison ivy here that needs to be mowed down.
No.
Justin. Oh, come on. You should probably be talking while I'm huffing and puffing.
I'm working on sending Delana some astrology stuff.
Get
so it. I'm just listening to you huff and puff.
Yeah, so are our listeners.
Yeah. We can listen to Ron Paul huff and puff.
That sounds like a good idea. Why don't we do that for just a little bit?
Okay.
I'll try not to go over his talking.
Sure. Okay. Now that I got done sending all of that, I will do Ron Paul. Here we go.
Whoop-de-loo.
Oh, yeah, by the way, the phone number is 888-322-1414. Once again, that's 888-322-1414. New updates are posted every Monday morning. Here we go.
Update for Monday, May 29th. When we think about terrorism, we most often think about the horrors of a Manchester-like attack where a radicalized suicide bomber went into a concert hall and killed dozens of innocent civilians. It was an inexcusable act of savagery, and it certainly did not terrorize the population. What is less considered are attacks that leave far more civilians dead, happen nearly daily instead of rarely, and produce a constant feeling of terror and dread. These are the civilians on the receiving end of U.S. and allied bombs in places like Syria, Yemen, Afghanistan, Somalia, and elsewhere. Last week alone, U.S. and coalition attacks on Syria left more than 200 civilians dead, many hundreds more injured. In fact, even though U.S. intervention in Syria was supposed to protect the population from government attacks, U.S.-led airstrikes have killed more civilians over the past month than airstrikes of the Assad government. That is like a doctor killing his patient to save him. Do we really believe we are fighting terrorism by terrorizing innocent civilians overseas? How long until we accept that collateral damage is just another word for murder? The one so-called success of the recent G7 summit in Sicily was a general agreement to join together to fight terrorism. Have we not been in a war on terrorism for the past 16 years? What this really means is more surveillance of innocent civilians, a crackdown on free speech and the Internet, and many more bombs dropped overseas. Will doing more of what we have been doing do the trick? Hardly. After 16 years fighting terrorism, it is even worse than before we started. This can hardly be considered success. They claim that more government surveillance will keep us safe, but the UK is already the most intrusive surveillance state in the Western world. The Manchester bomber was surely on the radar screen. According to press reports, he was known to the British intelligence services. He had traveled and possibly trained in bomb-making in Libya and Syria. His family members warned the authorities that he was dangerous, and he even flew terrorist flags over his house. What more did he need to do to signal that he may be a problem? Yet somehow, even in the Orwellian UK, the authorities missed all the cues. But it is even worse than that. The British government actually granted permission for its citizens of Libyan background to travel to Libya and fight alongside al-Qaeda to overthrow Gaddafi. After months of battle and indoctrination, it then welcomed these radicalized citizens back to the UK. And we're supposed to be surprised and shocked that they attack? The real problem is that both Washington and London are more interested in regime changes overseas than any blowback that might come to the rest of us back home. They just do not care about the price we pay for their foreign policy actions. No grand announcement of new resolve to fight terrorism can be successful unless we understand what really causes terrorism. They do not hate us because we are rich and free. They hate us because we are over there bombing them. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website and at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, we're the terrorists.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, May 29th. When we think about terrorism, we most often think about the horrors of a Manchester-like attack where a radicalized suicide bomber went into a concert hall and killed dozens of innocent civilians. It was an inexcusable act of savagery, and it certainly did not terrorize the population. What is less considered are attacks that leave far more civilians dead, happen nearly daily instead of rarely, and produce a constant feeling of terror and dread. These are the civilians on the receiving end of U.S. and allied bombs in places like Syria, Yemen, Afghanistan, Somalia, and elsewhere. Last week alone, U.S. and coalition attacks on Syria left more than 200 civilians dead and many hundreds more injured. In fact, even though U.S. intervention in Syria was supposed to protect the population from government attacks, U.S.-led airstrikes have killed more civilians over the past month than airstrikes of the Assad government. That is like a doctor killing his patient to save him. Do we really believe we are fighting terrorism by terrorizing innocent civilians overseas? How long until we accept that collateral damage is just another word for murder? The one so-called success of the recent G7 summit in Sicily was a general agreement to join together to fight terrorism. Have we not been in a war on terrorism for the past 16 years? What this really means is more surveillance of innocent civilians, a crackdown on free speech and the Internet, and many more bombs dropped overseas. Will doing more of what we have been doing do the trick? Hardly. After 16 years fighting terrorism, it is even worse than before we started. This can hardly be considered success. They claim that more government surveillance will keep us safe, but the UK is already the most intrusive surveillance state in the Western world. The Manchester bomber was surely on the radar screen. According to press reports, he was known to the British intelligence services. He had traveled and possibly trained in bomb-making in Libya and Syria. His family members warned the authorities that he was dangerous, and he even flew terrorist flags over his house. What more did he need to do to signal that he may be a problem? Yet somehow, even in the Orwellian UK, the authorities missed all the cues. But it is even worse than that. The British government actually granted permission for its citizens of Libyan background to travel to Libya and fight alongside al-Qaeda to overthrow Gaddafi. After months of battle and indoctrination, it then welcomed these radicalized citizens back to the UK. And we're supposed to be surprised and shocked that they attacked? The real problem is that both Washington and London are more interested in regime changes overseas than any blowback that might come to the rest of us back home. They just do not care about the price we pay for their foreign policy actions. No grand announcement of new resolve to fight terrorism can be successful unless we understand what really causes terrorism. They do not hate us because we are rich and free. They hate us because we are over there bombing them. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414 every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website and at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page. Thanks for calling.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Okay. So, is Ron Paul really clueless, or is he purposely not stating the obvious?
Purposely not stating the obvious so he doesn't get shot.
And he's leaving it up to us to use our critical thinking skills to piece together what's really going on from what he's telling us.
Well, there's four points in there that he said that are obvious. One, the UK is like super surveillance state, the worst police state there is, basically, when it comes to surveillance. And they missed the mark on purpose, probably.
The on purpose part is the part that he left out.
Right. He left that up for interpretation.
They just missed it.
Well, he left that up for interpretation. But, yeah, I mean, come on. It was freaking obvious. You got to be an idiot not to see it. They create a problem so they can advocate a solution for the problem. They allowed this situation to happen so they can pass more laws and take more freedoms and liberties away from us.
Well, either you're listing them out of order or you missed the first one, which he stated straight out.
What's that?
That Uncle Sam is committing terrorism overseas.
Oh, yeah. We are, well, Uncle Sam is the terrorist. Not just to, that was my other point. Not just to, you know, foreigners, to their own people, here. We are being terrorized on a daily basis from highway robbery, child support, the internal shit service, internal revenue service. What the hell? Let's see. The list goes on and on. OSHA. I mean, they're terrorizing everybody here. And we don't get it.
Well, yeah, you've heard of Stockholm Syndrome.
Right. They're in love with their
prison. You're in prison, and it's like, well, they treated me very nicely. Well, yes, they took all my clothes away from me and sprayed me with a high-pressure hose from time to time. But, I mean, they're only doing that because that was the best way to get all of us clean at once. It broke a few arms, but, you know, they're only doing the best they could. The best they could would be to turn you loose in the first place and not keep you prisoner. But, you know, people have Stockholm Syndrome, and they
Right. Love it or leave it.
Yeah, love it or leave it. Well, I left it.
Yeah. Love it or leave it has Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, I left it. So, granted, it's not exactly leaving me alone, but I left it. So. Well, I was listening to another podcast, but anyway, what's your other...
A doctor killing his patient just to save him.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's, well, actually, that's exactly what they do.
Yeah, that was my point.
Despite all the murders going on overseas in the name of saving the people. American doctors are the number one cause for death.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not talking
FDA.
I'm not talking how can you say it? Following their rules, regulations, and standards and guidelines. They still kill more people than they say. They kill more people than any other disease.
Oh, yeah.
It's called...
doctors kill more people than war.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, you want to be healthy and strong and safe? Don't go to a hospital. You know?
Yeah.
Avoid that like a plague.
Yeah, you want to die quicker. Go to a doctor.
Yep.
Or, you want to die a more painful death, go to a doctor.
Yep, basically. Stop that bugging.
Because they'll give you a whole bunch of crap that causes more problems than the original problem you had in the first place. Then they'll give you more crap for that problem that they caused in the first place. And it'll have more problems. And so then I'll have to give you another pill to fix that problem that they caused, which that pill has a buttload of problems.
Yep.
It's just idiotic.
Yep.
But people buy it, hook, line, and sinker.
Yep. What's your point?
We're not the land of the brave and the land of the free. We're the land of the idiots.
Yeah. All right, I got another related subject, but let's hear your last point.
I forgot. We have to listen to Ron Paul again.
You didn't take notes?
No, I was busy stuffing my face. I'm going to the bathroom.
All right. Well, yeah. I guess, what is this, Saturday, June 3rd. I'm not going to make it. Thank you, Jerry, for giving this to me late. Anyway, there's a gentleman that's going to have a We Can't Feed Ourselves conference.
Okay.
All right. And the reason why it's labeled We Can't Feed Ourselves is because, quite frankly, the average American is too ignorant to be able to grow their own food.
Oh, another point. Yeah, I went to Hy-Vee. Yesterday?
Right.
Yeah, yesterday, the one that Irish works at.
Yes.
And outside of Hy-Vee, there was these idiots selling lemonade to raise money for children with cancer. So, you know, because everybody's running around trying to find a cure for cancer.
Right. And they're drinking the coffee.
I want it so bad to tell them that there's already a cure and that they're a bunch of idiots.
There's about 17 cures, actually.
Yeah.
I can't name them all, but there's, you know, I know of a gentleman who knew of 17 of them. Black salve is one. Hedge apples is another. you know,
well,
basically...
One doctor used coffee enemas to cure cancer.
Well, yeah, basically nutrition is the main way to cure cancer. You eat high nutrition foods. You eat superfoods. All right, and there's actually several superfoods that are regularly available, and most of them grow wild.
and quit eating crap.
And stop eating crap. Stop drinking the lemonade.
I know. Make, the lemonade they were selling actually probably caused cancer in the first place.
Yeah, it was probably that powdered stuff that was lemon flavored. It was probably Country Time.
Right?
Didn't have any real lemons in it at all.
We're going to sell you cancer in a can so that we can raise money to cure cancer.
Yeah. So, I mean, at least I went and bought real lemon, which is 100% lemon juice concentrate. All right? I would prefer to use lemons, but, you know, I just don't have the ability to keep that many lemons around or juice them properly. So I bought real lemon. And I use that. And, you know, it works. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, if I had a video camera handy, I would have walked up there and videotaped. So let me get this straight. You're going to sell me cancer in a can to raise money for kids with cancer.
Yep.
They'd be like, what?
But you're selling one of the causes.
Right.
In order to cure a problem that we already know the solution to.
And we already know the problem, the cause. We know the cause and we know the solution. You want to sell me the cause so you can raise money for a solution that's not really a solution because we already know the solution.
To find another solution to a problem we already know the solution to, but we've been too dumbed down to know it. And the funny thing is you're standing in front of the institute that's one of the major causes of the problem.
Right, grocery store.
High fructose corn syrup, MSG.
right.
Red dye number 40, you know, blue whatever, whatever. You know, don't eat.
Partially hydrogenated crop oils.
Yeah. And don't let them tell you that all saturated fats are the same because the hydrogenated stuff is not really a saturated fat. It's only a pseudo saturated fat. And that's the problem. You want saturated fats. You want real saturated fats. You want coconut oil. You want butter. You know.
That's it.
You want a steak that has marbled fat in it that came from a cow that ate nothing but grass.
And
not grass that was bailed up. Not grass that was bailed up for it and served to it, you know, a year later. You want the cow to go out and harvest the grass itself.
And quit eating food paint.
Yeah, don't eat food paint. God. Now, that said, we better do our disclaimer.
Food paint, roly-poly, food paint. And I really can't say much because I eat some of that crap, too.
I know, and I get on you for it.
Whatever, you do it, too.
I try to avoid it.
I know.
Actually, no, when I buy ice cream, if I'm reading the label, the only thing I'm guilty of is I will eat emulsifiers, and I'll get on you for eating emulsifiers. All right, I'll eat emulsifiers, and every once in a while, I'll get caught by them. Because, you know, people think milk binds them up. All right, I've never had milk bind me up, not just straight milk, not even store-bought milk that's been homogenized and whatever. I've never had that bind me up. But I've had flavored milks bind me up, and the difference is, chocolate powder, which I know doesn't bind me up because I can eat that straight without getting bound up, all right? A lot of sugar, which doesn't bind me up, but it certainly gives me a lot of gas if there's too much.
You're full of hot steam.
And then about three or four emulsifiers. And those emulsifiers will turn my turds into bricks.
Brick. Turd brick. Brick turd.
You know?
No,
and
I
so
don't.
Every once in a while I get caught by those emulsifiers. You know, that's, you know. People, you don't need emulsifiers in your food. You don't need your food to be consistently the same consistency.
Consistently the same consistency.
You know, if your chocolate milk sometimes is a little runnier than at other times, that's fine, as long as it tastes good. You know, and make sure they use sugar, not high fructose corn syrup to sweeten it. And And once we get them back on sugar, start making sure they actually use real sugar, you know, the brown stuff.
Raw sugar, not cocaine.
Well, raw sugar would be best. Now, granted, if they're going to make chocolate milk out of it, they'll probably end up cooking it because they, you know, they're going to have your milk homogenized. But, you know, they could use raw sugar in places where they're not going to cook it, and it would still be raw, and it'd be excellent. It'd be good for you. It'd be healing.
Right.
You know?
How can chocolate milk be healthy for you? That's insane.
Well, don't put emulsifiers in it. Don't use processed sugar. Don't use...
Right.
I made some fudge. I call it bachelor fudge, all right, because it's no-bake fudge. It was just made to serve my chocolate craving and my sugar craving and that, you know, consistency thing. And I got to tell you, you don't really need to put in emulsifiers to get a consistent product, all right? I use either starch or flour for my thickening agent, all right? And it is also my emulsifier because I use coconut oil. And the flour, the flour would absorb the coconut oil, and it absorbed the water at the same time. And it had this neat effect. It turned this runny mess of water and oil, and it would actually congeal it. It would become an emulsifier, all right? But it was, you know, there's healthy starches out there. You can use one of those. There's healthy flours out there. You can use one of those, all right? And so, you know, get yourself a gluten-free flour and use that. And thicken up. I didn't cook this stuff. I just, you know, allowed it to soak up the water and the oil at the same time. And it basically would join the oil and the water together. All right? So it would emulsify the water and the oil together. All right? And I added cocoa powder, and that was one of the powders that would join the water and the oil together. And I'd end up with this wonderfully consistent product, and all I had to do is dissolve some sugar in it, and voila. I had no-bake fudge.
How much did that cost?
Pennies. Pennies. And
how much would you buy that in the store?
Well, my friends took me up to Osceola Cheese Factory, and there was this little teeny tiny container. It must have had...
It was about maybe 3-4 ounces.
Maybe. It had about 2 tablespoons of fudge in it, all right? And I got to tell you, I was shocked and surprised when I found out that my fudge tasted identical to their fudge and was even the same consistency, all right?
And theirs was like, what, $5, $8?
No, it was $2.50, as I recall. But,
oh,
I mean, $2. It was very significant. It was an insignificant amount of fudge. For that same $2.50, I could have made a couple of pounds.
Right.
And not put any emulsifiers in it, not put any dyes in it, not put anything weird in it at all.
It tastes great, and it was good for you.
It tasted great, and it was good for you. It was made out of Rocacola. It was made out of Rocacola. I could have used arrowroot starch instead of the starch I used. Or even the flour that I used, But, you know, any flour, any starch would have done. It would just change how much you put into it. And basically, I just kept adding my starch or whatever as a filler. That's all I was really doing with it. I was using it as a filler. It was soaking up the extra fluids and causing them to congeal and thicken. All right? And that's all I was using it for. And, you know, any factory could add powder until you had the right consistency. You know? You could put a torque sensor on your beater blades, and when they reached a certain torque, you knew it was thick enough. Stop adding.
Stop it!
You know? It doesn't have to be precisely a cup of this and a quarter cup of that and whatever, you know. It's just, you know.
No,
do
I don't
that, know. Yeah, do that with most of the ingredients. And then, you know, for one ingredient, take measurements and add accordingly.
Add accordingly.
You know? You know it's going to be roughly a certain amount, so put in slightly less than that and then test it. And if it's not the right consistency, add a little more and a little more and a little more, and the next thing you know, you got it. You know? I mean, cooks don't just follow the recipe. They taste their soup. You know, any good chef tastes their food before they send it out to you.
Oh, yeah, and they tweak it to their liking.
Right. And if they're a good chef, they know... They don't necessarily tweak it to their liking, but they know the difference between their liking and what the general public likes.
Well, true. I mean, the recipes, every time when I first started out, I would follow recipes, you know, whatever.
Yeah, me
but
too.
You know, if I'm cooking the same thing for the second, third, fourth, fifth time.
Oh, yeah, you start tweaking.
The recipe is just a guideline.
Yeah, yeah, you become a tweaker. You start tweaking.
I'm a tweaker.
Okay, how do we get down this rabbit hole? All right, so the fudge, yeah. So I can make this really healthy fudge. It tastes the same as the industrial product. It has the same consistency as the industrial product. It has fewer ingredients. And... it's good for you. The industrial product, not so much.
Yeah, it's got more crappy ingredients. It costs more, and it's not good for you.
Well, it costs you.
Dungeons and Dragons disclaimer. Asterisk legal notice asterisk. This podcast is for educational and/or entertainment purposes only. Our opinions and religious beliefs are our own. Most of this is all hearsay evidence and is not admissible in court. Our first-hand knowledge is your hearsay evidence, and you should always go and do your own homework. We are not necessarily encouraging you to overthrow any terroristic, tyrannical de facto governments, medical establishments, fast food franchises, any religious or non-religious 501c3s or anything of that matter. We do encourage you not to feed the beast. We do encourage you to love your neighbor, your community, and your homeland. We do encourage you to do what is right, when it is right, because it is right. We do encourage you to protect your de jure government, your sovereignty, your freedoms, and your liberty, and those same freedoms and liberties for your neighbor, your community, your people, and your homeland. The Lord gave you free will. Please use it wisely. Pray it forward. Pray for others as you would like them to pray for you. Love others as you would want them to love you. Please read 1 Corinthians 13. We practice God's medicine, not man's medicines. Any nutritional statements heard on this podcast is just our research and/or experience. Most of them may not be accepted by the FDA. Under the New World Order rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines, we are not allowed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. But we cannot cure you, nor can your doctor. Only you can heal yourself. Disease is a result of a nutritional deficient environment. Feed your body right, and your body will cure itself. Man and/or other animals, We are not man animals. This podcast is not made for animals. This podcast is only for certain humans made in God's image, endowed by God with certain inalienable rights. If you are an animal, this podcast isn't necessarily for you. Please tell your human about us.
Please, go tell your human about us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you a human?
I am. Animal!
I saw it the other way around. I supposedly I was your pet or something. I don't know.
I'm sorry, what?
Supposedly I was your pet or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm a manimal.
Well, listen, how long ago was it that I tweaked my back? You were here when I did it. What day was that?
It was last weekend, Sunday, I think. Sunday or Monday?
Probably Monday. It was the day before we were going to go to work. No, it was Sunday. It was Sunday.
Sunday.
We went out there. Yeah, we came up Monday. All right. Yeah. So, my back is almost healed. Sitting hurts, but basically I'm going to finish all the Dr. Christopher's powder in this container. I've been doing about 3 to 5 teaspoons a day. I put it into what I'm drinking. It actually goes real.
Yeah, I need to make some for Delana.
Right. Like I asked you before, what's the difference between their pre-mixed, which has everything that that one doctor, not
right.
Dr. Christopher.
Our blend is your variation of another doctor's variation of that doctor's variation.
Right, but the one that you ordered, I saw that it had gravel root in it, so it was that other doctor's variation.
Oh, okay. And then it was actually my variation of your variation of the other doctor's variation of the other doctor's variation. Because added diatomaceous earth to it.
Ah, that's why it's grinding between my teeth. I'm just giving you a hard time. I wouldn't have known the difference.
Yeah, and I also specifically blended it for Wanda, because Wanda's on certain pharmaceuticals that can't handle a certain walnut, because the walnut interferes with pharmaceutical application. So I made it so that it would not interfere with the pharmaceutical application, even though we should be interfering with pharmaceutical application.
Right.
But she didn't She didn't want it to interfere with her medication.
Right. Now, who was Wanda?
Wanda. That's
Wanda.
That's that girl that I met on that one dateline 2 years ago.
That was the girl here in Stockton?
Yeah, the one who pretty much threw herself at me.
And then got upset when you threw yourself back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Girls are strange. Girls can be a stranger.
Yeah. She's a little cuckoo. Well, I didn't really throw myself back. I just kind of, well, maybe I did a little bit. But, I mean, I don't know. She's weird.
Yeah, you threw yourself.
She came on strong, and I was like, whoa. And then I was like, okay, fine, let's do this. And then she was like, whoa. I'm like, what's what? It's like, wait a minute. I thought this was what you wanted.
Yeah.
No. Apparently she's playing games, or she's just messed up in the head.
Well,
you didn't behave the way most people behave around her, and so you scared her because it was different than the reaction she the regular reaction, the one where they go, ew, or you're weird, or whatever, she was ready to handle. All right? But you gave her, okay.
Well, actually, no.
That's weird.
I didn't react that way. I actually was a little standoffish at first.
Well, she was handling the at first, wasn't she?
True that. She was the aggressor.
Right. And then when you gave into it, you know, for her, you should have stayed standoffish for the rest of your life and lived that lie, and you would have had her.
Probably.
Yeah, not.
I don't know. I'm not good at playing games.
Precisely. And what I love is girls who say they don't want you to play games, they're usually the ones that play games.
I know, right?
I don't want any drama in my life. And then they bring the most drama.
Yeah, or they either are or they attract.
Yeah, what I said works either way. They bring the most drama. It either follows them or they create it.
Yep.
Now the one
fair share of drama queen.
I could sympathize with them because, you know, they didn't create it, but they're attracting it. You know. At least they have an excuse for saying I don't want any drama. But the one who creates the drama is like, God dang, you know, what's your problem? Stop doing that.
But I like it. What it is they like the attention. They don't know how to go about getting the attention in the proper manner.
Yep.
I got a few exes like that.
All right, here's one for you. Different subject.
Different subject.
There's a postcard handed to me this evening. On the front of it is a picture of a chicken staring right at the camera. All right, with his head cocked to one side like they do sometimes. All right?
Okay.
And then, and the print on the other side of the postcard is, all we want is a world where a chicken can cross the road without its motives being questioned.
Okay.
So why'd the chicken cross the road?
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares or none of your goddamn business.
Man, you swear a lot.
Anyway, this is from the same people that's putting out the We Can't Feed Ourselves conference. And it says, hey, it's not just chickens. Everything we eat crosses the same roads. We no longer know how to feed ourselves. Our political class remains clueless. And we've got to ask ourselves some hard questions. Don't be a chicken. Save the humans.
Right.
Anyway, so...
To hell with the humans. Save the cats.
Hell with humans? Well, that's what the VPGers say. Hell with humans.
Yeah, to hell with the humans. Save the cats.
Right. You know, if the human race was to die off, the cats would all die, too.
Well, the smaller ones will.
In short order, the cats would die off. Now, lions and leopards and things like that, they'd continue to live. But what we call the house cat, that'd pretty much be the end of it.
I hear you.
You know. I mean, cats can go feral from time to time, but they really can't live outside of the human domain.
We should send them all back to Egypt.
Yep.
They don't belong here. The damn Castro is a menace to society.
Yeah.
But we can't send them back, because otherwise they wouldn't be preying on the other crap that we brought over here that's not supposed to be here either. Like us,
like,
for that matter.
You mean like the Chinese house mouse? And the Norwegian black rat?
Speaking of mice, I've been out cleaning that camper. And I found some evidence that there was mice in there, but not a lot. So...
Oh,
either,
you know what? Evidence clues me in that there's a mouse in my camper.
Okay.
I went to cook some greens. And I had on my stove a nice clean pot that I'd, you know, washed after the last time I used it. And the mouse had decided that that was its toilet.
Well... There was evidence in the camper that there had been mice there, even mouse nests, more than two.
Right.
But they weren't filthy like the mice down there.
Well, there might have been rats then.
Oh, right, yeah, it could have been rats, because rats aren't as filthy.
No, well, actually, rats, given the proper environment, which in the wild they usually have access to, actually keep themselves very clean and fastidious. Now, they do a lot of destruction, you know, but they keep themselves clean.
These ones didn't even hardly do any destruction.
Yeah.
But I figured out why.
Okay.
I found a snake nest also.
There you go.
Thank God for snakes.
Yeah. Yep, too bad our cats eat snake.
Yeah, but if there wasn't a snake in that camper would have been in a, been messed up, probably.
Oh, how does the girl who's going to live in that camper feel about snakes?
It's not there anymore, as far as I know. I've cleaned, 2/3 to 75% of it. And so far, I haven't seen a snake. I just found the snake nest, and I found the mouse nests, but no snake, no mice.
Well, if no snake, then how does she feel about, well, you said no mice. That's something
right.
else. Mice generally will not stay in a place that has rats.
Rats?
Yep, because rats consider mice vermin and will chase them down and kill them.
Right. Well, they'll kill each other. Or at least mice will. I don't know about rats.
Well, yeah.
And mice are vermin.
Yeah, I used to raise them as pets, but yeah.
Well, she also has a cat.
That's how I learned the difference, because I'd clean the mouse cages, and those mice would get mad at me for cleaning their cages. And they'd go out of their way to make it even stinkier than it was the day before. You clean a rat's cage, and the rat appreciates it. And do everything it can to keep it tidy. Including peeing and pooping in one corner. So if you consistently clean out that one corner, that's about all you have to do.
Right. So if you make it a bathroom, then all you got to do is clean the bathroom. Like have like a separate cage for it to go to the bathroom in.
That too. Yep.
Well, anyways, yeah, she's got a cat. And we've got a couple of strays here and a couple of the neighbor's cats running around outside. So between her cat and the other outside cats, I don't think that she's going to have a problem in the camper.
Including that really nice black and white one.
Yes.
Hopped up in my lap and wanted my affection and attention while I was trying to get some sun and get my back to heal. And, yeah, it's definitely pregnant.
Yeah, it's a very lovey-dovey cat.
It is. It's a nice cat.
I believe it belongs to the neighbor two doors down. Mm.
Oh, boy. So how much rain are we supposed to get tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Yeah, because I'm going to turn animals loose. And then...
Tomorrow's Sunday.
Yep. And then I'm going to go work for Bill.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to finish this camper tomorrow because she's going to be here in 2 weeks. Well, I'm not going to finish it. I'll finish cleaning it. My mom still has got to get boxes out. And I hooked up the water and it leaks. So I got to fix that so she'll have running water. And then I got to see about gas. I got to hook up a propane tank and make sure there's no gas leaks.
Oh. Those tanks that we got that we need to test?
Yeah.
Take them to a place that sells propane. So around here, I know the place to take it is Higgins Gas in El Dorado. Now, the MFA here on the corner might be able to do those, you know, test those. I know they don't make hose fittings and stuff like that, but Higgs Gas in Eldo does, all right? But you take it to one of those places and have them test the tank. Have them test the tank for integrity and on the safety valve and whatever else needs to be tested.
Okay.
And buy some gas from them.
How do I check the camper to make sure it don't leak?
Oh. Okay, it has a regulator on it, right?
I think so.
Okay. They're going to put some stinky stuff in the gas. All right?
Right.
So you hook it up and, you know, make sure the electricity's not on and all that stuff. You know, matter of fact, I would disconnect the electricity just to be on the safe side.
There's no electricity yet.
Okay, well, as I recall, there's an electric cord or something running to that camper. And...
Oh yeah, we got a power box out there and an extension cord going from there to the camper.
The
camper should have utilities. I just can't figure out why they're not working.
I would unplug that just to be on the safe side, just so that there's not some short spark going off someplace where it's not supposed to. Turn on the gas and just see if it smells.
Oh, right.
Just see if it smells.
That's what I was going to do, but I just thought maybe there was a better way.
Well, that's pretty much the way, you know. You know, every once in a while, I turn on my stove and I step out and I forget and I close my door. Well, you got to slam my door to get it closed. All right? Well, it's a small space. And that results in me blowing the flames out on my stove. All right? All right, so I come back, and the flame's out, and my camper is full of gas. So I shut off the stove and leave the door open for a while and go do something else and come back. And when the smell's gone, then I light the stove again and finish cooking whatever I want.
My room is full of gas.
Well, yeah, that methane comes from another source, and you better be careful. Because, you know, even though it'll smell like Skittles, it'll be a horrific explosion.
I broke my aromatherapy necklace.
Oh, yeah, so I finally got that threadbare. I thought you knew that. I suppose I should have said something.
Oh, you saw that it was getting thin?
Yeah, I thought you knew. Because you wear it all the time.
Yeah, I wasn't paying any attention. It broke today.
And so the
vial... It broke at the beginning of the podcast.
Right, so now you got little glass shards to contend with.
Glass?
Wasn't it in a glass vial?
Yeah, but it didn't break. That didn't break.
Oh, well, then why is it stinky?
Because I farted.
So that has nothing to do with your aromatherapy thing?
No.
Okay, well, okay, now you know. It was threadbare, and you need to replace the actual bracelet necklace part of your aromatherapy necklace. Okay.
Yeah.
You made it sound like it was stinking in there because you broke the wire.
No, I broke wind.
Yes, and I'm sure you can. If anybody can drive the four winds back to their corners, I'm sure you can.
Yeah. I look like a monkey, and I smell like one, too.
I don't know about that. I don't know of any monkeys that smell like you.
Yeah. I tell people I'm so ugly I can shove my face in a bowl of dough and make gorilla cookies. Alrighty. It's pushing 10 o'clock.
You get
not already past.
You can smell like Skittles.
It's past 10. We've been podcasting for 2 hours. Well, I've been podcasting for 2 hours. Delinquent here has only been on for an hour.
Woo-hoo!
So anything else we want to talk about on the Demented Dungeons & Dragons podcast?
Oh, lots of stuff. We can save it for next week.
Next week.
Well, we might talk about the Straight A Conspiracy, which, by the way, is the name of the book I was trying to tell Gary about. And we should get a hold of that book.
What book is it again?
The Straight A Conspiracy.
What's that all about?
Well... You know how you go to school and they test you in school and, you know, some students get straight A's and others, you know, they get straight F's and, you know. Well.
Right.
The truth is, the straight A student and the F student aren't really any more intelligent one than the other. It's just one's better at that type of test than the other. And one learns better in that environment than the other. And that would generally say to you, well, see, that proves that they're smarter. But if you mix things up and you teach a different way, you'll end up with the same bell curve of a few of them getting straight A's and a few of them getting straight F's and the rest of them getting an average of C.
Right, but the people getting the A's and the F's and the C's will be different.
If you change the method of teaching, yes, it will radically change who ends up where. But it will not change the nature of the curve.
the curve will still be the same. You'll still get the same percentages here, there, and everywhere. And if you change it to yet a third style of teaching, you'll get a completely different set of kids. So some of your C students will become A students, and some of your A students will become F students, and some of your Fs will become Cs, and, you know, whatever. You know, you'll just shake up the results of the individuals, but you won't change the curve. And basically what that says is everybody is smart enough to learn the stuff, but some learn better under this method than another.
Except for us, we're retarded.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm considered an autodidact. I learn best when I teach myself. You know, and I consult people who know how to do things.
Yeah, that's right? What I do.
Okay. And honestly, most of us are autodidacts, but...
Autodidact.
I asked my mom how she taught me how to read, because I don't really remember a time when I couldn't read. Now,
I don't remember a time that I could read.
I have memories from back when I was less than one, but it's not like I have memories of me holding a book back then, so it's not like, so I assume at that time I wasn't able to read. Okay?
I still can't read.
All right? But I don't remember when I started reading, specifically. I just remember that I taught myself how to do math. You know those little workbooks you can buy your kids at Walmart or the drugstore or whatever, and it has math problems and science stuff in it and stuff like that. And, you know, basically it's busy work that parents can hand their kids to keep them busy. All right. Well, my mom bought me some of those before I got in kindergarten. And from those, I taught myself how to add and subtract and multiply and divide and all that stuff. Okay. So by the time I got to kindergarten, they were having me count colored crayon bears. I was like, can I go play? This is boring. Well, you have to learn how to do this. It's like, here, there's 25 right there. Huh? Well, what shape is that? That's a square. And that's a rhombus. And that's a parallelogram. No, that's a diamond. Yeah, diamonds are parallelograms, lady.
You sound like Stewie.
Pretty much. Oh, God. Yeah, it's, you know. So, you know, starting kindergarten, I pretty well learned that teachers didn't know what they were talking about, and it did not change until I got out of school. So.
Well, next time Gary has you work on Monday, come up early enough on Sunday so we can go to psychic church.
Okay. That's the conspiracy. He's trying to keep me away from psychic church.
Only he doesn't know it because he's psychic.
Shall I name the number of contradictions you made in just one little statement like that?
I'm good at that.
And the funny thing is, it might be true.
I think the guy's very intuitive, but he doesn't want to believe in any of that stuff. That's all devil worship.
Oh, I just got told today that yoga was devil worship.
Oh, yeah. I've been told that a lot.
It's all from Satan. you know, yoga. Don't do any yoga. Holy shit. I mean, it's all anti-God. It's like, well, okay, prove it. Prove that it's anti-God. Show me where anywhere yoga denies that there's a God. All right? So.
Maybe that's what I should start telling people. Prove it. Show me proof.
Yeah. Prove that that's anti-God.
When they don't show me proof. When they don't show me proof in the name of proof, I'm like, well, that's not proof. Show me real proof.
Oh, they'll hand you the Bible itself, you know, and say, right here, see, it says that's a practice of devil. Like, okay, well, the Bible says that. Okay. And then they try to prove the Bible's real because the Bible says the Bible's real.
Well, yeah, the Quran is real because the Quran, the Quran says that the Quran is real, so the Quran is real. And the Book of Mormon says it's real, so that means it's real, too. The Satanic Bible says it's the real, true Bible, or whatever. I'm sure, actually, I never read the Satanic Bible, so I need to do my homework on that one.
It's probably the one book that says it's nothing but lies, but you should believe it anyway.
Right? And that's probably the one that speaks the truth.
Yeah, well, okay, you know, I tend to believe the Bible, okay, so don't get me wrong, all right, but turning to a document that claims to be true and using that as proof of its truthfulness is circular reasoning. I told you I'm telling the truth, therefore I must be telling the truth. Well, what if
right.
I just lied? What if I just lied? What about the man who tells you that he's lying to you? Hey, Kano, I'm lying to you.
Liar.
So, was that the truth or was that a lie?
Heck if I know, I don't believe anything anybody says anymore.
So, you know, if I tell you that I'm lying to you, and it's the truth that I'm lying to you, then I just told you the truth. But...
except for Delana, I believe everything she says.
Oh, Dana, you have gorgeous eyes.
Right.
No comment.
Oh, she said that already. And that was your response? Oh, my God.
I only halfway heard what you said, but it was pretty close to being accurate.
Oh, my God. Well,
I haven't stalked her in a couple hours. I need to do that.
Oh, God. I got bits and pieces of your sign on the back window all over the back of the pickup. That's going to be about... God. It didn't even get hit hard. That's what gets me. I mean, it shattered so easily. If we'd had the hailstorm, it would have been gone. By the way, everybody got hit by a hailstorm but us. And Bill and Shirley. And Bill and Shirley. They didn't get hit by a hailstorm either. So.
Oh, my
goodness.
Oh, my goodness, what?
Laura posted this. One of my ex-girlfriends posted this thing. I guess she took a picture of it. I don't know where she was or where she got this, but somebody has an emoji float that you can float on, and it's the poo guy emoji float.
Yeah, everybody likes the poo guy.
Yeah. And it's got this hot chick sitting on the poo emoji float thingy. It's kind of disturbing.
Well, you know, it's popular to be, you know, 2-year-olds again. Poop. Look, it's poop.
I'm putting on here. That's just disturbing.
Look at the hot chick. Look at the hot chick. She's sitting on poop.
Yeah.
That's Beavis and Butthead material.
Something. Oh, yeah. Lori told me tonight about my pimp wagon.
Lori, as in Mike and Lori?
Yeah.
She told you about your pimp wagon.
After you did, yes.
She texted you.
Well, no, yes and no. I posted this thing on Facebook about transparency, and mostly I posted it for Delano so that she can see what everybody thinks about me. But it's like, okay, name two things about me that you see, good, bad, and or ugly. Seriously, I want the truth. What is my best qualities and even my worst? Thanks.
Well, she posted your pimp wagon and said both.
She said, one, you're good company. Two, you wear funny-looking pants. Three, you aspire, whatever that means, aspire.
Probably inspire.
Four, you own the pimp wagon, which, by the way, was damaged today.
Oh, she mentioned that.
Yeah.
She ratted me out.
But yeah, now people are going to be like, pimp wagon.
Yeah, pimp wagon. Yeah, the pimp wagon.
Because it's been advertising all my date lines. Well, not all my date lines. It's not. Well, yeah, it is advertising all my date lines because New Skybiz is redirected to my astrology date.
I didn't know Vote for Lenny was one of your date lines.
That's the only one that's not.
Maybe you should make it one.
I did and probably still own freedomfighterdating.com.
Oh, my. Oh. I don't know. Maybe you can help me out. How am I going to break it to Kano that I broke the back window on his truck? I don't know.
Well, what you're supposed to do is fix it and pretend like it never happened.
Well, yeah, but Lori would have ratted me out and is like... And I ask questions like, where'd all the stickers go? Oh, they just fell off.
Oh, yeah, now I got to go get another Punish the Deed, Not the Breed sticker.
Yeah, that's the only one that's missing.
Okay. I have some more new SkyBiz ones. Ron Paul was peeling off anyway, so... Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Ron Paul, that's not a Dateline.
I could just see. I didn't tell you. I get it fixed. I take a photo of the back, and they redo all the stickers, and you're looking at it going, wasn't Ron Paul peeling off?
Right.
Why does it look fucking new? David?
They redid the stickers brand new to make them look old.
All right. Well, I already told Bill I can only work for about half the day. About mid-afternoon, I have to leave and come here and turn the goats loose. But honestly, last time I turned them loose, they didn't go very far. I spent the morning burning that fire pit in there, and they stayed near. They didn't go anywhere. So. They'll probably be fine just staying in the yard. As long as they make sure they got enough water.
Probably. Hey, in two weeks from Monday. In 3 weeks, maybe Delana will join us on the podcast.
Okay, that is the biggest tick I've ever pulled off myself. It wasn't gray. It was just... It was like twice the size of any tick I've ever seen, twice the diameter. Holy fuck. Okay, I'm going to be checking myself for ticks. Good thing this is a podcast and not a vodcast.
Right.
Oh, I got to check, Tickhead. I grabbed hold of him yesterday, and I saturated him with that tea tree oil mix.
Okay.
He even sprayed it up in his ears. The only thing I didn't do is I didn't spray it directly on his face. But I sprayed the back of his head, and then I mussed his hair up so his whole face got covered. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
So... but I especially sprayed up inside his ears. Remember I told you he has like a million ticks in there?
He don't have a million ticks in there.
Well, he's got a lot of ticks. He's got so many ticks you can't see down his ear canal. All right, and they're so deep, you know, I couldn't really go in with tweezers if I could get him to hold still long enough for me to work on it. So I want to see if those guys... have fallen out. You know, even half of them. If half of them fell out, that means I can spray some more in there and get the rest of them. You know? Okay. Yep. I need a girlfriend that likes to go camping. Because part of camping is ticks.
Tick, tick, tick.
And, well, you know, it's a thorough tick examination really requires two people.
How's that country song go?
I don't know, but you'll have to give me a copy of that.
Here we go. This works. I'm working on a new cover photo for Delana's and my special group that I made.
Your special private group? All right,
yep.
I'll have to hack into that. What's your password again? Let me think. Oh, yeah, that's
it's
you going to tell me on air? Yeah, you're not going to. Yeah.
Secret.
Oh, that's the password. Okay, thank you. Well, you know, my usual password is password, but it's the word is encrypted. So, and I know how I encrypted it. But honestly,
yeah.
I use that one for things I don't really care about. All righty. Dang it. I need to tear this place apart. Maybe I get lucky and I won't hear the mouse tonight. Maybe it left. Fat chance on that.
Fat chance on that.
Yep. Stupid mouse.
Somebody just sent me a text message.
He got into my phone.
Mom.
I got a nice, shiny frying pan. Shiny bottom because I cleaned all the oil and all the stuff out of it and set it on my stove. All right? And it's still pristine clean, except it's got probably 2 or 3 dozen mouse turds in it. Like little bits of black rice all over the place. Like, what the hell? Couldn't it go poop someplace else?
I thought you liked black rice.
I do. It was rice. That's insane. Go to cook yesterday and it's like, oh. Dang it, I should scoop all those up and shove them down some cat's throat.
You might have to bring the bolt cutters when you come up.
Okay.
My mom locked her keys in her locker.
I'll bring all 3 sizes.
I don't think we need the big one.
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah, that'll look strange walking in here with this gigantuous bolt cutter. That's the key to P&S. I don't think we really need it anywhere else.
Well, right.
Shoot, that thing will probably cut. That thing will cut just about anything.
Yeah. She can't, like, tell her work?
She's looking for one. I guess she needs a cut now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, her work can probably do it.
Hang on. Hello, and welcome to the DD&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where
we
talk about everything
but... lockers, seasonal lockers.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, we laugh at you.
Sure.
What kind you want?
I don't know, peanut butter and chocolate, my favorite.
Peanut butter and hot fudge?
Sure.
Okay.
Where's mine?
Where's David's?
Are you over here?
Oh, you can just go to Chronic and get some down there.
Chronic?
That's where I'm going.
I don't have enough money to go to Chronic. Let alone spending
me neither. I'm broke.
I'm broke too, but I'm gonna get a shake.
That's a Lazarus.
You have to have priorities.
You need to join our podcast more often.
You didn't get that at all.
What? Am I in on it?
She's as bad as I am about contradictions, isn't she? Now, the apple don't fall far from the tree, does it?
Right, you can explain that to your mom later. And here I thought we were going to wrap it with it because you locked your keys in your locker.
Oh, yeah, I know.
What?
She locked her locker keys in the locker. You know, it's like when I went and got a safety deposit box, they told me this story about this guy who got a safety deposit box, and they told him to make sure he puts the second key in a safe place where he won't lose it, just in case he loses the first one. Well, he lost the first one, and he went into the bank to talk to him. They go, well, where's your other key? Well, you told me to put it in a safe place, so I put it in the safety deposit box.
There it goes.
No, I'm smarter than that.
I don't know.
Well, that was an accident. I thought I had them in my pocket. I think I must have put them in my vest or something, and then I put my vest in there.
Hey, I locked my keys in my shipping container. So,
am I on the podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on the podcast.
Yeah, David locked his keys to the container in the container.
Yep, yep. I ended up having to cut the lock.
Now I could do that easy. I kept telling myself to get an extra key, extra key. I don't know where the second key is. It's stored somewhere.
And I was teasing Delana today about being a blonde. I guess we're all blondes.
I am a blonde.
Hey, my ex
called me a blonde. I mean, I'm not a blonde.
My ex called me a blonde when my hair was still dark.
Well, actually, I guess you two guys are blondes. I'm the only one who's not blonde here.
Someday.
Relative to a Filipino, I'm
blonde.
Delana's hair is darker than all three of ours, so.
Oh, yeah. You know who's the real blonde around here? Smoke.
Smoke.
Yeah. Pika Pika.
Pika Pika.
Hey, I gotta go. I'm gonna get off here a second.
Okay.
All right. Hey, what gets you long? You can drop that tape off here.
Just regular.
Okay.
Hey, it won't take you long. You can stop by here and drop off that shake. She hung up on us.
Well, she was placing the order, so I went ahead and hit the big red button.
The big red button. You got one of those?
It's gone. I'm staring at Delana now.
How'd you get her there?
She's on my phone. She's everywhere on my phone.
So, we go rescue the princess. No, we go abduct the princess in the Fortnite. And
not
Shen
abduct,
her
rescue.
Off the foreign kingdom known as KHP.
Not abduct, rescue.
Uh-huh.
I didn't mean I was going to get off. Phone. I just
said,
hang on, or
I'll
be back.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I hit the big red button.
I thought you hit the big red button.
I did.
But she's still there.
She came back. Thought she was a goner, but the cat
and
came back. Or she wouldn't stay away.
Yeah, broken arm like a bad titty. Keep showing up.
I don't understand that one.
I was going to ask if there's such a thing as a bad penny, but is there such a thing as a good penny?
Well, actually, a copper penny is a good penny. A non-copper penny is a bad penny.
No, I just mean a penny that's, like, messed up. and it just keeps coming back. You know, like if it's got a gouge in it or... Yeah, anyway. Only thing I don't like about Sonic is they take forever and I want to go home. I just found a whole bunch of keys. Maybe they're in the... Maybe the extra set's in there.
Maybe.
I have to check. Before I go to work tomorrow.
Yeah. What do you mean you can't get in your uniform?
Because I want my bills and everything in there.
Not good.
What do you mean you can't get in your uniform? It's in the locker. Well, get it out. You can't. Why not? Because I locked the keys in there.
What? I can't really hear him.
Say it again.
Nope, won't. You can repeat it.
You have to listen to the podcast.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
You have to go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com and listen to the podcast.
Probably won't. I'll probably be going to bed.
Why are you getting a milkshake?
Or you can wait until tomorrow and listen to it when you're
Do what, David?
Or she can wait until tomorrow and listen to it when you're playing it back to yourself.
You're breaking up.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up. That's all right. We can rebuild you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna make that pallet out.
Oh yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Well, we'll have a couple of them probably by the time you get down there.
A couple of what?
Well, we'll have pallet bars and stuff.
Oh, did you show her the pallet houses?
You want a what?
I'm going to make me a four-room pallet house.
My mom wants to make a four-room pallet house.
Right. Does she mind if three of those rooms are down in the basement?
Huh?
You want three of those rooms in the basement?
So that we don't have to pay taxes on them?
So we don't have to pay taxes on them? I mean, so we don't have to pay theft on them?
Sure. Sure, I'll do that. I also just use a container as my extra room. Well, yeah. If you build pallet house, they're not going to be... No, that's considered structure.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how they charge their neighbor on taxes.
Oh, yeah, because he's got a container house.
Oh, so he's not charged taxes?
Well, he will.
They'll charge him taxes. I'm just curious how they'll go about it. Like, it's two shipping containers. Why are you charging me tax for? Because it has a big, nice roof on it. So, what do you do to contribute to its building? Nothing. Okay, so why do you deserve anything? You don't deserve anything. Leave us alone. Go away.
Is that why you hide your things in the trees?
Basically.
That's why you don't.
I mean, you hide stuff from thieves. So that's what we're doing.
Right.
We're hiding from thieves.
Yep, you have to hide your things from the criminals because they'll come and either they'll come and tax you for it, and if you don't pay your taxes, they'll come and steal it from you.
I have $1.20 left, or dollar left.
Well, I guess I got more money than you. I got $5.
I got $1.
Well, at least in your case, Shano,
when they ask you how many campers and stuff you got on the land, you can say none. When they say, well, how many are you taking care of? You can say none. And when they point at them, you know, and say, well, there's this one here. Obviously, you're taking care of it. You own it. But no, I'm not. Not mine. And you can tell them that honestly.
Thank you. You too, thanks.
How's it not mine?
What?
Did you earn them?
Oh, those two, no. But I got this one up here I'm going to take down there.
Yeah? Well?
So, yeah. I won't claim yours. I'll be like, those aren't mine.
You can give that one. You can give that one to a trust, and then the trust will own it.
Yeah, I need to create a trust for my property.
And then let the trust take care of it, and it can do that by hiring you.
There you go. I meant to say you take care of it. Yes, I work for the trust.
Well, no. You're not taking care of it. The trust is taking care of it.
Well, but the trust hires me to take care of it.
That's fine. The trust hires you. That's how the trust takes care of it.
What are they going to do about containers on the property?
Oh, they try to tax for that, too.
Even though they're not anything built around it?
Nope. Yeah, because it's a structure. Well, basically what they'll do is they haven't taxed me for them yet, but what they'll do is they have two different type of taxes. They have what? Property tax and the other one. What's the other one called?
Personal property.
Personal property. So they'll put the containers under personal property. Right, so they'll tax them like they do a vehicle or a trailer.
And if he doesn't pay it, they won't let him license himself for a vehicle. So he's under catch-22.
Well, I'm not worried about having to license the containers.
No, but they won't let you get a driver's license.
Oh, right.
If you don't pay the personal property tax.
Right, because they lump it all into one.
That's why you better get your license in Kansas City somewhere. Or dad or something.
That's what I told them. Be a resident of Kansas and be licensed in Kansas. And then you can save on the personal property tax.
Yep. Well, once it expires, I am going to do that. I don't remember when it expires. Oh, 2020.
2020. Hindsight is 2020.
What all do you have?
What do you mean? Oh, just my two trucks and my trailer.
No, I mean your driver's license.
What do you mean? Oh, I have hazmat, tanker, passenger, triples, obviously combination.
AK-47.
Combination AK-57 Uzi rated laser triple barrel double scope pea seeking shotgun.
Yeah, that's all on his driving license.
Oh yeah, so yeah, I got everything except for school bus, motorcycle.
Passenger.
No, I have passenger. I just don't have a school bus. And then I also don't have my pilot's license.
School bus is faster.
Okay. So then I have that. I don't have my rocket pilot's license either.
Well, duh.
I have my UFO driver's license.
I do have a UFO driver's license. I mean, I have a UFO flying license.
Right.
Pilot's license. I got a UFO pilot's license.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to put this walker in somewhere.
Oh, it's still outside?
Yeah. You don't think it'll get stolen, do you?
I don't think anybody really want it.
Brand new.
We could put it in the shed out here on the old garage.
Okay, that's a good idea. Open the door. Or is it unlocked?
Why would I unlock it?
You want to shake?
Okay, I'm unlocking it.
Oh, I forgot your straw.
What?
It's in the car.
You're killing me.
One in
I'll just steal yours. You hear the echo?
I did.
Echo!
Yeah, your mom was a little too close, wasn't she?
Just a little.
Hey, somebody hung up.
I smell Skittles.
I did. I hung up.
Is that where you get it from?
Yeah.
How do you smell Skittles?
Your mom's a freaking unicorn?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
There's no straw in here.
All right, I'll go get it.
I'll just
oh,
take
they're
yours.
right behind the TV.
Right behind the TV.
There's a whole buttload of them back there.
The other side.
There was. Yeah, I was there.
Oh.
Those are wimpy straws.
There's no way I'm going to be able to suck ice cream through a tiny straw like this.
I know, go get it.
I'll just steal yours.
There. That's a McDonald's straw.
Oh, that might be able to handle it.
Dang it. I got it.
I'll go get it. I can't handle it.
Try it.
I got to hide my drinking glass now from the mice.
Or what? All right. I'm happy. If you don't, I'll go get it.
No, they can handle it.
I mean, they made a mess.
They're messy.
Who's messing with you?
Did you rewash them clothes again, or did you just throw them in the dryer? Oh, no, I already rewashed them.
Ah. Sorry, you got a monologue. I'm drinking ice cream.
You're drinking ice cream? You're not supposed to drink ice cream.
What else are you supposed to do too with it?
You're supposed to eat it.
Just melt it.
Oh, how do I monologue? Let's see now. I don't know.
Where'd the bucket go?
Where'd the bucket go?
Compost bucket.
Oh, well, last time I saw it was on the kitchen sink. Or it was on the kitchen, on the oven.
Last time I saw it was on the stove, and then now it's on the floor in front of the stove.
Probably because we used both burners one night.
Oh, yeah, my mom did that. Melted one of the buckets.
Well, I didn't use the burner. I used the oven, and you know how one of them has that thing underneath it? Well, it was sitting on that one.
Oh, okay. She melted it with the oven.
Your mama is a bucket melter.
She's also a pyro.
Pyromaniac.
Oh. No. I just put two sheets in there to dry because you had stuff in there already so it would dry it faster. Two sheets and two pillowcases. You put them in here? Oh, washcloths. I put those in there.
Everything was still in the washer when I left.
Oh, I put them in there. I washed some more stuff and then put them in with the dry stuff so they dry quicker.
Right.
My mom taught me that trick.
Mommy did it.
I didn't do nothing.
What are you meowing about? Muffy wants attention.
I don't know. Not one person said anything about my skunk.
No?
The guys ain't worth it.
Delana liked it.
Oh.
My love stinks shirt. She said, good attitude. Good attitude. That's what she said. Yeah, yeah.
Yep, yep.
The battery in my skunk sings that song.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
You love her, but she loves him. But he loves somebody else you just can't understand. Love stinks. Yeah, yeah. Muffy's looking at me weird. All right.
Yep.
It's getting to be about that time of year again, eh?
What time of year is that?
To get the 30-pointer. To get that 30-pointer. Get the 30-pointer. Get the 30-pointer. I'm going to get that 30-point buck.
Well, that reminds me. I need to hang out in my garden at night. The deer have been walking through it and leaving footprints. So that should be an easy... should be easy to bag that deer. Hey, you know that pellet gun you got me?
Yeah.
Okay. The pellets, some of them are explosive. You know what I found out? I shot something at night, and it made a bright flash.
So they got gunpowder in them?
I don't know what they got in them, but not every one of them does. So whoever you got this from, they mixed pellets together. There's some regulars and there's some that go, flash. And I haven't figured out which is which yet. I didn't even know they did such a thing.
Camper. What?
I didn't even know they did such a thing. It's like a tracer round. When you hit something at night, you know where the thing hit at.
Right.
Just makes a nice bright little flash when it hits. But you won't see it unless it's, like twilight or darker.
I'm not. She probably don't have one. We'll have to get new ones. Alrighty. I'm done with my milkshake.
Alright, so we can end this podcast.
So that concludes the DD&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything, including Dungeons and Dragons.
Which we haven't talked about for quite a while, but that's all right.
Yeah. Bring back PK.
Red Tower next.
Hopefully something.
Oh, the cats heard your voice, and now they're meowing at my door. Catch that mouse, you stupid cats.
I'm a cat magnet.
Yeah, that's the right way to say it.
I'm a cat magnet who owns a pimp wagon.
Yeah.
And the pimp wagon attracts the cats. Alright. And you know what that means in Kansas?
Good night.
Huh?
Good night.
No, did you hear me? Did you hear the noise I was making?
Yeah, with a straw.
Yeah.
Yeah, it means, means good night. That's the end of the podcast.
No, it means that my cup is empty.
Right. Your cup doth not runneth over. Your cup doth runneth out.
My cup is runneth out. All right, good night.
Good night.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, good night.
Yeah.